We're at Shmuel Aleph, we're Perek Aleph, we're up to Pasuk Yud Ches in our packet, that's page 8. We left off last week discussing the Pesukim prior, Tefilas Chana, her interaction with Eli who falsely accuses her of being drunk, and because of that, the requirement of giving her a bracha. So Pasuk Yud Ches continues, top page 8. Atomer, Timsa Shivcha Scha Chain Beinecha. Good evening. So she said, may your maidservant find favor in your eyes. Vatelecha Isha Ladarka. So the woman went on the road. She went her merry old way. Vatochal, she ate. Ufaneha Lohayu La Od. And her face, translated here, is no longer the same. Masuda Sion says, Ufaneha is an Indian Zam, which is the same thing as Rashi. Rashi says, Ufaneha lo hayu la means panim shel zam. So she was distraught on page 8, Pasuk Yud Ches. She was obviously very disappointed, unable to have a child, seeing Penina have child after child. And finally, now that she feels that her tefillos are going to be answered, her feeling of hopelessness, which was seen directly on her face, was gone. If we look at Rashi, Rashi addresses the question of why is it necessary for her to say to Eli, please find favor in Shivchatcha, in your maidservant. After all, he already was mispal for her that she should have a child. But Rashi says that Timsa Shivchatcha Chain, Levaki Shulei Rachman, you should ask mercy for me. Which is an interesting idea, that even though he was already mispalel for her, nonetheless, when it comes to asking for rachmin, there's never enough. You can always ask for more. Not to give up hope, but also never to stop davening. And the Mesudas David continues and says an interesting approach of what it means that she went with Darka on her way, which could mean that she just went back on the highway and drove back home. But that's not how the Radak interprets it. The Radak says Ladarka, jumping down a few lines, quoting the words of the Medrash. He says, Mahu Ladarka means Shapirsanida, that she began to see signs to be able to have a child. Kamo Kiderech Noshim Li, which is the same thing we find by Sarah. Ufaneha, the Radak says, similar to the Masudas Sion and the Rashi, Paneha Haroim Lohayu La'od. She no longer had that face of the sadness on her face, the evilness upon her face.
According to Radak, what's the point that he's giving you the
says that. So the Indian is that the bracha is already kicking in. She's already having the ability to have a child. Or it means that.
If it's the other way, no?
Why?
It would be the other way.
No, but like, for example, by Sarah, she lost her ability to.
So it came back.
It came back. Right, that's the idea. It doesn't say that it came back. It just says that she.
Right.
But that's how it was by Sarah, which maybe is what it means also over here. Pasuk Yud Ches. Good evening.
So maybe in the comparisons to Sarah that she might have even been making on her own, maybe she saw that as a comparison.
Right.
It would almost seem, right, though, from this passage, that it might not have been the time, or for some reason it might have stopped, or...
Right. That's according to the... It sounds the way the Radak is reading it.
Like there's a chiddush over here that it should happen now.
Right. Yeah. Mesudas David continues and discusses the idea of her eating. So big deal, we need a pasuk good evening that says that she was eating. Big deal. So if we recall that before this, she either wasn't eating, or she wasn't eating a whole lot. Maybe she was eating just because it was Yom Tov, or she ate just the bare minimums we were discussing a couple weeks back. Mesudas David says, V'toychal mi'ata ochla kol tzar. Now that things have changed, and things are looking more favorable for her to have a child, and she's feeling good, she is now eating completely all of her needs. V'lo hoya la'od hazam shahaya l'ma'az, which is basically what all the mafarshim are saying, that she's... The mood changed. Ki barcha b'tfilas eli, because now she has a different level of bitachon, of faith in the tefillah that Eli had on her behalf. It's very interesting when it comes to brachos. The Mishmatzot Zahav tells us a very fascinating idea. It's just one sentence. It's not in our packet, but it's very worthwhile hearing this, I believe. says that when she had this level of bitachon, as the Mesudas David says, he says v'emes kiyum habracha toloi ma'od gam b'mekabel habracha. For a bracha to actually be mekayim, for it to actually be fulfilled within you, it's very much dependent on your being mekabel that bracha, if you're accepting it wholeheartedly. Then he says, shekama shu yoser ma'amin u'metzapeh shebavadai teskayim, the more that you hope and wish that bavadai teskayim is definitely going to happen, kahu mosif koach shedeskayim habracha, so too the bracha, well, it's more likely to be mekayim.
It sounds like the secret. The book.
I believe.
The book, the secret.
that what?
This famous book says that all you have to do is believe that it's going to happen. You know, right. I believe I'm going to become rich. I believe that I'm going to have success over there. And that's what it takes. So if you personally believe that 100%, you know?
Right. Doesn't.
You gotta have a brother with it, right?
That's right.
That's the difference. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I know these guys that well. Because he believed in the blessing.
He got a brother with it. He got a brother with it.
But what does this teach you, Mendy? The power of the mind, right? It teaches us the power of the mind. That if you believe that something is this, you get this bracha, and you have more likely that it's going to happen.
Who said that?
It's just brought that. It doesn't say. It says Mefarshim. Kusvim Mefarshim. He concludes over here. He says, "So much so, to the point that
you got to buy the lottery. She did.
She put in her shtadlis. They davened and all this. But that's how they end. He says that her face changed because it says it was as though shikvar roa beineha as a ben hanoyled lo, as though she already saw the child in her arms, as though she had already given birth." But of course, that hasn't yet happened. We have to go through a couple more psukim. Okay, let's move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. So v'yashkimu b'boker. So they got up in the morning. Ishtachvu lifnei Hashem.
Who's the they?
It's a good question. Who the they is? It sounds like possibly the entire family, but we're going to see if because she went back. It says that she just went back. So v'yashkimu lifnei Hashem. They bowed down to Hashem, Davin, Yeshuvu v'yavohu el beisam haramasa. So here we go. It says they went back to their hometown in Ramah. V'yeda Elkanah es Chana ishto v'yizkereha Hashem. So Elkanah and Chana finally are remembered by Hashem, which of course means that she conceives. And the Mefarshim explain that the idea of Vayiskareha Hashem is no coincidence that it happens Bedafka on Rosh Hashanah, which one of the names for Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron, day in which Hashem remembers. Hashem remembered, assuming that it was Rosh Hashanah, remembered Sarah.
When did they go up that the entire family went up?
So, according to the way I just said it, it was Rosh Hashanah. Not everyone agrees that it could have been one of the Shol Shergolim, or could have just been Stam, one of the different Yom Tov. It's not so clear since they were Shulis.
Couldn't be Rosh Hashanah.
Why?
Because they went back and then Vayeda Elkanah. And then she became pregnant.
But it could be Yisgareh Hashem could mean that was...
That 3 months early.
It was Rosh Hashanah that she was... Her bracha was, you know, listened to. Her tefillah was listened to. So, even though maybe it wasn't Davka on that day. It could have been the day after.
It's possible. Assuming
they went on Rosh Hashanah, but they went back home, it says, to Ramat, which would imply it was after Yom Tov, was after Rosh Hashanah. And then it says, V'yizkereh Hashem. So V'yizkereh Hashem means that she conceived, but it also is all connected, possibly, to Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom HaZikaron. Hashem remembered, of course, at this time, which was after Rosh Hashanah, but because of what happened. What does it say?
The Maharil says.
I don't have that here. What does it say?
Kufas Hayomim. It says Betishrei Nifkado V'Nisun Yoldo.
Right. So it does.
So
he doesn't mention the day though. Just mentions the month.
Right. But it was period.
But it all started Rosh Hashanah.
It started Rosh Hashanah. Right.
Okay. So that makes sense.
But you're asking when he went there. When they went there. So they went there Rosh Hashanah.
Right. According to that interpretation. Okay. All right, let's see the next pasuk chav. Vayhi l'tekufos hayomim. It was after a season of time. Tekufa, you see the Masudah Sion, translates as Lashon HaKafa, Sovov. It's just like a year goes by, it's a rotation, a circular. Everything happens again. So that's Tekufa. That's the significance of the seasons as they change and come back year after year. Vayhi l'tekufos hayomim, after some time went by, v'tahar, Chana, the Tehillat Bein, so she had already conceived, but now she finally gives birth to her son, Vatikra Shmo Shmuel. She decides to name him Shmuel. We'll see that maybe she knew this was a good name. We'll see that eventually in a Rashi, in Pasachav Gimel, we'll get to. And why is he called Shmuel Kimi Hashem She'iltiv? So basically, it could be translated a few ways. Because Hashem Shaltiv is translated here as I requested him from Hashem. And I was mispalel to Hashem, and that's how it occurred. The Radak has a different interpretation of Shmuel. Doesn't come from the word to ask a shaila request, but rather says the Radak over here in Pasuk Chaf, a little bit down. It says, what is the significance? Hatam min kim mahashem shaltihu ki yesh ba'otiyot Shmuel, because the letters of Shmuel composed of two words, to be Shoel, the yesh ba'otiyot gamkin mekel. So one of the represents to be a borrower, and the other one, the other letters is from Hashem, ki il omra shol mahashem, as though to say that I have borrowed this child from Hashem. So the Radak is teaching us maybe not just the significance of Shmuel, but all children, that a child is not my child, my son, my daughter. It's a gift. It's a, right, they're on loan. And obviously we have a responsibility to take care of them as we're entrusted with this loan. But that's another way to translate the word Shmuel, that he was borrowed, but which means he has to be returned. The problem with that translation, since we're at Sefer Shmos, one of the things that's mentioned in next week's Parsha is that Hashem turns to Moshe and says the following pasuk. It's not anywhere here. Daber no bozne om, speak to the nation. Bishalu ish meisru ehu, bish meisru sa, klei kesel klei zahav. So the Jewish people take silver and gold from the Egyptians. And how is it translated? From this word, v'yishelu ishmeisrehu, borrow. The problem is we borrow, we never gave it back. And that's the shiloh, actually it's the gemara which asked the question. How could we have taken something and not returned it? And there are different answers to that question.
One of the answers to that one.
Yes.
Ishmeisru, so borrowing from one another. That's not talking about the Egyptians. It's talking about the Jews.
And we borrowed from?
The Jews borrowed from each other.
Okay.
And then later on it says, that they went and the Egyptians gave them silver and gold. Because they figured if they're borrowing from each other and they trust each other, we'll trust them too. Maybe it'll be favorable in Isaac. So they gave.
Okay.
Rashi doesn't agree with that.
Well,
but it's interesting if you look
Rashi
in this.
Doesn't have to.
If you look in the stone chumash over there, which I did today. The stone chumash translates that word "bishal ish me'isrei," who is request from your friends, from your neighbors,
yeah,
which means
not
borrow.
It has nothing to do with the Egyptians.
No, but I'm saying that. Let's say it was let's say it was to an Egyptian, but the idea is that it wasn't to borrow; it means to request, which means give it. Can I please have it forever? So the whole question may not stand. And then why am I bringing this up? Because that's the same idea of the word. Shmuel can mean he's a borrowed, which I have to return. He's a gift from Hashem, which I have to give back. Or it means request.
Stone Chumash also takes liberties.
Well, that may be one of the reasons why it writes it that way, because of that issue. It's possible. It's possible.
The Egyptian chased the Bnei Israel to the answer.
Yeah.
Rashi says in the name Mamonim Sheshivim, they ran after the money that they borrowed, so what they get it back.
Right.
So why did Hashem have to have him borrow it? Because this was a trick to get the Egyptians into the Yamsu.
Right.
If you give someone a gift, you forgot about it. But if you lend something to someone, you want it back.
Right.
So you'll follow him to the Yamsu to get it back. That's what they did.
Not a wise choice, but...
Right.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Let's move on. We're up to... good evening. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph continues. So now... Finally, we understand why the name of this book is called Shmuel, because finally he's born. So, but of course, all the psukim before that gave us a backdrop of who the father was, the type of mother, and then we can understand how great of an individual Shmuel is and how what he will become. Pasuk Chaf Aleph continues and says, "Vayal ha'ish Elkanah b'chol beiso," that this man Elkanah went up. And some say not physically. Maybe he elevated himself more and more spiritually upon having such a great child, such as Shmuel. Was boach Hashem as zevach hayomim ve'es nidro. So he went, or it could mean he went to bring these karbanos ve'es nidro and to fulfill his vow. What exactly is his neder? So the simple explanation. Maybe is Rashi. Rashi says over here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, "V'as nidro nidarim shenader ben regel hayamakriv boregel." He used to make vows. I'm going to bring this sacrifice, that sacrifice, and that's maybe what's referring to that all the sacrifices that he brought. It's also possible what was the neder, because we mentioned the whole problem with Shmuel becoming a nazir, right? That who was the one that made the neder in the beginning of this parak, it was Chana. And the Mefarshim asked the question of how did she have the authorization, the authority to do so. This was something which halachically, for various reasons, is actually Radak in Pasuk Yud Aleph. How could she do so with something which Elkanah, only he could make? And therefore the Radak over there said, well, maybe he did. And the Radak says, well, we don't find anywhere in the Psukim. It was only really her that made this feel of Mor lo yala rosh, that there should be no raisin that should go upon his head, which means he will always be a nazir. He'll be a nazir. So maybe the words Ves Nidro means that, hints over here, that in fact the father did make the neder, not about giving sacrifices, but about, if I have a son through Chana, then that child will become a nazir. It's another interpretation which could alleviate those numerous questions that we cited before for the Radak.
The wife couldn't make the neder by herself?
That was one of the problems. Yeah, a neder is such. There's a Mishnah, if you in this pack.
Sorry to throw you back.
No, it's fine. Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Radak said, I'm just going to. He asked, how is it possible that this neder could apply, that Chana could make this child a nazir? One problem, the bigger problem is it's a davar shulva l'olam. He doesn't exist. It wasn't even conceived. It's just a figment of our imagination. You can't acquire something or do anything to something which isn't in this world, doesn't exist.
We had the same situation with Menoch v'Ishta, Shimshon.
But what was the
difference? But Menoch
What do you
say?
She could.
Heard it.
Either that, or she made an eder in front of her husband, and that's, he agreed to it.
That's how the Radak says. Maybe what happened, and the Radak ends up saying. Right, but then he ends up saying that that's something which we don't zelo reinu.
Right.
You know, it's not found anywhere in the actual simple reading of the text, so it's kind of hard to believe. Zerachok, but maybe Radak doesn't point this out. I don't think over here, but pasuk yud aleph was way over there. And now we're on pasuk chaf aleph 10 psukim later. As nidro over here, maybe going back to that neder, that the vow that not just Chana but also Elkanah made together with her.
Did he go up with her?
He knows about it. But,
we're saying that she couldn't make the neder.
The question is, if you go back to Pasuk,
you can make a chol.
She says that the Radak says she can't make it for two reasons. One, he wasn't alive. He wasn't here yet. And second of all, because it's not the, because the woman can't make that neder. Only the husband could make the neder.
Yeah. Back then, those days of Yosilevsky and. The woman can tell, can make a God can make a God can make an error.
On themselves they can. She was making a neder on an unborn child. And Radak says only the husband could do that. No, that's the whole problem is. She could make a neder on herself.
Am I right? A neder on herself she would have been able to make.
If he hears the neder.
Right.
Okay? And he's not mevato the neder. And he's not to the neder.
Right.
Then he's consenting to the neder.
But this is not, but
if he heard her make the neder.
But it wasn't a neder.
The Radak feels that that's
she
not.
Made
the Radak feels that
it wasn't a neder. She said, but she's a neder.
Right. She said it.
He's her neder batoma.
Apparently, that's even. Forget about the fact that he's not even. It's in Davar Shel Ba'olam, which is another issue.
Right.
But that he's not in this world yet, this boy, or whoever it is. But the other issue, the Radak said, V'im tomer ki elkana aso ha-neder gam kein, which sounds like the Radak is saying that it's not enough just to agree, but he actually has to verbalize it himself. Which may be, as I'm saying here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, I don't know,
that
he really did it. This verifies that he actually did say the same neder that his wife did. That's all I'm saying. I didn't see that anywhere, but that may be what the means that's neder, which Rashi doesn't want to go there. Rashi just says it's referring to his various nedarim vows that he made throughout the months before the regalim, which he would always go to Sheila. But that's all.
Actually, the real question is here that was a neder actually made because there was nothing there to make a neder.
Right.
It wasn't that she's not allowed to make a neder.
I think her neder, her neder really encompasses something else. I think her neder at the time was, but he did not enter.
Right.
That was the neder.
Right.
It doesn't do anything else. If you give me a child, I will consecrate him to God. That was the neder.
Right.
Has nothing to do with anything else. That's what bothered the Radak.
Yeah.
But is that the question that she can or cannot make the neder? That's what he himself could have made the neder at that time.
Right.
So the question is maybe the thing is. Is that the child had to be born or conceived?
Probably conceived a few months or something.
For somebody to think. That's why we believe in life before birth.
Life before birth? There is life before birth.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go back to Rashi's pshat. It's easier. The Dharma should never been regular adults.
You have to accept that if the husband doesn't nullify it, he's basically affirming.
And the question is,
the question is, could he make the net there?
The question is, what? He can't make a net there on a dog which is a
bolio.
It's not there.
The child wasn't born.
So you can't make a net there on something that's not here. Okay. Like making a net there on the next year's
fruits. But as you said, a net there is when you Kativ, I will give him.
That also is something that is not.
That's the reason why the Radak, which Goldway pours over onto the next page, says, brings down to Gemara that it's actually a machlok, and not everyone agrees that that she made him a Nazir or that he was ever a Nazir. Maybe it means something else altogether, which we're not getting into. But it's possible not. It's all possible. Okay, let's move on to Pasuk Chavbet. I think Rashi is a good way to stick with that for a moment. But let's move on to Pasuk Chavbet. So everyone went as they always went to Shiloh. Now, you would imagine that before she did go, she did tag along, she wasn't happy. Now she should be thrilled. I mean, she has a child to show off to everyone in Shiloh. Maybe to show to Eli, it would be great. So the Pasuk says that she didn't want to do it. Chana lo alata. Chana did not go up to Shiloh with her family. Why not? Ki amra l'isha, because she said to her husband, Adi gomel hanar v'havi osiv. I'm not going to bring him up until he's weaned. V'nir es p'nei Hashem. At that point, he will come before Hashem. V'yosham sham ad olam. And there he will stay there forever. Ad olam, forever. We'll explain what ad olam means. There's a few explanations. A very nice Rashi I like over here, which is pretty long, but it gives a little bit of a backdrop of how we figure out some numbers. But before we do that, the Radak, going a little bit out of order here, the Radak asks a question. The Radak asks, what right does she have to wait? If you look in Pasuk Bet, the Radak says, Ad, so she waited until he was weaned. Ad Tishalim Yanikato, who estimated Arba Chodesh Shatinak Yonik, 2 years old, 24 months, that's how it's called, translated. So a woman would typically nurse a child for the first 24 months of that child's birth.
We had it with Yitzchak and Sarah, right?
Yom
Gamel at Yitzchak.
And Rashi says there 24 months. Right. We'll see, interesting, Rashi over here doesn't necessarily say 24 months. He has a second opinion, but we'll get to that in a moment. Says the Radak, V'yachal pi shahayu chayovin lahavyu. The question is, what right does she have not to bring him? She has to. He has to go. Mishum the Pasuk says, Yerikozachorcha, again, assuming that Pasuk, which is really referring to the Beis HaMikdash, if the same laws of the Beis HaMikdash apply to Shiloh, which we talked about, maybe that same obligation being Olo Regel is not there, but assuming that it is, asked the Radak, what right did she have to say, I don't want to go. What do you want to go? There's a mitzvah being Olo Regel. You have to go.
Everybody brought the carbon Pesach to Shiloh. So it was an effect. Elias Regel was in effect in Shiloh, just like that was
Jewish. Oh, okay.
He brought the Karm Pesach in the Shiloh.
Yeah. But the question is there the same chiyuv of having to go every single... There's a machlokas if you have to go every Regel or maybe only once a year. That's what... There's a machlokas we brought down. But assuming that it is the exact same, and it makes sense that it does, and that it should be the same,
certainly
the Radak asks the question, what do you mean she's not going up? I don't feel like it. What do you mean I don't feel like it? So, Omer Abbasin is Yechon Avracha, Kira also because she saw... This is a very... A very practical, sensible Radak. She saw Benar, this little baby, infant, Shehayim Oneg B'cholosh. She saw that he was a very weak little dainty boy. B'choshon, she was concerned, Shema Yechol B'nederach, he's going to get sick on the road. So therefore, she made the call. The husband said, okay, let's go, we're going to Shiloh. And she said, I don't think it's a smart idea, because he's not ready yet. He's too weak. He's a little baby. And therefore, let's wait for a couple more years until he gets a little bit stronger. Then we'll go up, but not a moment before. Now, the Rashi over here discusses this idea of that he'll be there forever. But actually before that, let's see, this is the Rashi above that.
Maybe she figured if she's going to be there forever, he doesn't have to go so quick.
That's the best.
Right, well, that's... That could be another idea, because if she promised that he will have to be there, so that means...
He has plenty of time to go.
Right. And she knows that if she would go right now, he would have to stay. That's where they are now. That's their home.
Roma is outside of Yerushalayim.
What was the question? The question is, does the mitzvah year after the quarter of the top, like somebody who's not yet have the mitzvah?
Yerech kol zechurcha. The chiyuv is not necessarily on the baby. The child, the parents have to bring the child.
Does it mean that at that time every male infant had to
So let me say it differently then. How come she didn't go? Maybe that was a better.
Well, the question is, did she have a chiyuv to eat the carbon pesach?
Does she have?
Every man, woman, and child had a chiyuv, or was it just the men that were required?
She would have to. It doesn't say what holiday this is, though.
No, but for 2 years, if she didn't go for two years, obviously, in that interim, there was.
That's true. I know for a definite fact that.
Yeah.
Everybody went to Shiloh for
how do you know it's 2 years?
You weren't there.
Wait.
Remains over there.
How do you know it's 2 years?
Archaeological thing.
What? We're not. We're assuming.
Maybe 6 months old at the time that she said she's not going on the bill to 2 years
that
as well.
That is true. He's making but still the assumption that 2 years.
The 2 years will go by with her. So
making the assumption that 2 years will go by before she goes.
Right, so. But the point is that for a sakana, it's a sakana. So let's move on. Let's see this Rashi. So the Rashi I told you before talks about the weaning business, and then it says l'sof esrim shnayim. But then you see in the parentheses it says esrim arba. You see that the Rashi?
A
pasuk chapet, right? Right. So I mean that's what you're mostly familiar with hearing. It's the weaning process is 24 months. It says 22 months. Probably depends on the individual child. All right. So next Rashi says Yashav Sham Ad Olam, and be there Ad Olam forever. Olamim Shel Levim Chamishim Shana. So it means forever. He's not going to live forever. Shmuel doesn't live forever. He passed away at 52 years old. Right. So what does this mean, forever? So we know that the time in which the Levi completes their service, their major service, is 50 years. Shneimer, as the pasuk says, in Chamishim Shana Yoshev Mitzvah HaAvoda. That's what the pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar. So at 50 years old is when the Levim stop.
They retire.
Right. They very early retirement. V'kachayu Yomav Shel Shmuel Chamishim Ushnayim. So it makes sense because he started when he was two. And then he's going to die when she's... How did she know? How did... So it's going to be 50, right? So he's going to be working for 50 years.
How did she know
years.
What Olam was at that time?
And how did she, right? How did she know that it was actually going to be the 50 years? Did she know he was going to live for 52 years? I'm going to say not, but nonetheless.
Oval, maybe Yovel. Oval is the Oval.
And what does it say by Yovel? It says the word Olam, right? Olam shel Yovel, the world of Yovel, which is also the idea of the significance of 50. That's another interpretation.
Why is it a problem? Whatever she'll bring him, it'll be 50 years when it's over, then he'll leave.
Because the pasuk says that he'll be there, he'll serve Olam. Which sounds like forever. What does that mean, forever? So, forever, right, it could just mean forever. Until he dies. But the Rashi is kind of alluding to the fact that it also corresponds to the 50 years of service of a Levi. It's all 50. And he happens to be right that he will pass away at age 50, mm-hmm. at 52. Some explain also, which get a little bit into Gilgal Meshavot, that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, as we know, is 18. And some say that Shmuel, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, shared souls. So Shmuel is 52, 18, do the math, 70 years old. And that's what it says by David Melech, that's right. Years of one's life is Shim Mishana. Right, so that could be Olam also. All right, let's continue with this Rashi.
I also think that maybe she has an element of Ruach HaKodesh, and she knows that he's going to live for 50 years in service, so she's trying to drag out when he starts to make a little
more. Very good. Because otherwise he would, this way he at least makes it to 52. Okay.
One of the Hasidim asked his Rebbe, he says, not Olam. He says, what is forever? He says, I'll explain to you. The whole universe was filled with poppy seeds. And a bird came every 1,000 years and took one. Forever is a little longer.
Okay. Let's continue this, Rashi. There's a few more lines. It's a very long Rashi. I don't want to see the whole thing. I could, but let's continue with it. Shaharei... Okay, b'kachayu yomav shel Shmuel chamishim shnayim. So he lived for 52. Shahari, how do we know that Shmuel lived for 52 years? We all know that that's the number, but where does it come from? So Rashi says, Shahari, Eli shafad es Yisrael arboyim shana. It's brought down that Eli was judged for the Jewish people for a period of 40 years. V'yom tefilas chana, and the day in which Chana stood up with her tefillah, That was the time this Mana Shofet, that was the time he was appointed as a judge. That's we brought that down in Pesukim before. So we can probably now figure out, let's calculate a year from the time of her getting back and conceiving. Why is it a year? It's interesting, it's also a year by Sarah, which is what she said, it's not 9 months. Nishtairu Shloshim Batesha. So therefore you have 39 years. What does that mean? In other words, he start after Shmuel was born, when Shmuel was 39 years old, that was the 40th year of Eli's work. Shmuel Pirnes as Israel, Mishmeis Eli Shosh Esrei Shana. And he died at that time. He died at that time when he was 39 years, and he worked an additional 13 years as he became a leader for the Jewish people for 13 years, Shmuel did. So at the age of 39, for 13 years until he was 52. And the Rashi continues and gives more reasons how we get to that number, but let's move on. Pasuk of Bet. Bechana lo alatas, we saw that. So let's move on to Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel, v'yomer la elkana isha, Asi hatov b'inayich. So how did her husband respond? Was she probably upset when you're not coming on this little field trip with me? No, he said, do whatever is good in your eyes. Shavi ad gomlecho, so stay where you are until child is weaned. Ach yokim Hashem es devaro, but may Hashem fulfill his word. We'll see what that means. Vateshe v'isha v'tenek es b'na ad gomla oso. So she went and nursed this child until finally he did not need to be nursed any longer. So, looking at Rashi gives two explanations. The second one is quite amusing, which I really enjoy. But let's go through the first one first. Ach yokim Hashem es devaro. What did Elkanah mean when he said to his wife, to Hannah, that you should do it everything in your eyes, and may Hashem fulfill his word? What is he referring to? Hashem already fulfilled his word. He already gave you a child. What is he saying? So Rashi says, Esheos menu zera noshin, that which it was that you asked for, and you should have zera anoshim, which implies not just one child, which is how we interpreted the Gemara, had many interpretations what that means, one great child, but it means numerous children. That Eli and that Elkanah is saying, you should have more than just this one boy. You should be blessed with more sons or more children. And of course, we know that that is in fact what will happen to Chana. We jump a couple more lines. We find the Medrash Agada, Medrash Shmuel. Very interesting line. How did she know that Shmuel was a great name for this kid? So it brings down this Medrash as follows. Nechemiah b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak omer b'chol yom v'yom. I don't know how he knows this, but this is what the Medrash says. Every single day, bas kol yotzos, there was a heavenly voice that came out. The Omer said, it said, quote, Osid Sadik Echad Lamod Ushmo Shmuel. There eventually there will be a Tzadik in this world that will be born, and the boy's name will be Shmuel. And the Mefarshim bring down that this bas kol was heard for 40 years. Maybe only people who were in the Neviim, Roit, have heard that. Not everyone in the street heard this. But nonetheless, everyone knew that there was going to be a great tzaddik that soon will be born, and his name will be Shmuel. So what would you do if you had a kid, and that kid happened to be a boy? Says Rashi, V'chol isha shehoyse yilad hasbein, every woman that gave birth to a son, hoyse kara shmo Shmuel. They said, you know what's a good name? Let's call him Shmuel. Continues this amusing medrash. Kivan shahay roim es masav. However, as the little baby grew up and he became a few years old, and 8 and 10, and a teenager, hayu omrim, the parents looked at this child and said three words with it shaking their heads. Ein ze Shmuel. This is not it. This is not the one. Yeah, this is not it. Kivan shenolad zeh. But once this child was born, the Shmuel that we're talking about, Chana's kid, Ro Masav, and they saw the greatness of his actions, Amru, they said, Doma Shezehu. It appears maybe this is the right one. Zehu Sha'amar, and therefore this is what Elkanah was saying to Hanan. Yakum Hashem is Devaro Shehizeh Shmuel HaTzadik. Not just, may Hashem fulfill your words, because you already had a kid. But not that this is just an ordinary kid. May this be the Shmuel HaTzadik, the Shmuel that this Basco was crying about on a daily basis. Okay, so that's possibly why his name was also Shmuel. Apparently that was, everyone in school had that name for many years. Okay, let's continue with Pasuk Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav Dalet on page 10 says, V'talehu ima kasher gamaltu b'parim shlosha ve'if ha'achat kemach v'nebel yayin. So after he was already 2 years old, she decided to eventually fill the words that she promised, brought him up, and she didn't bring him up empty-handed. She brought shalosh parim, brought cows, and eifa achat kemach with flour, and enable yayin, flasks of wine, and tiveu beis Hashem Shiloh. So she brought all these gifts to Shiloh. Vanar nar. And the child was a child. Kids will be kids, boys will be boys. Vanar nar, which is kind of an interesting language on this pasuk. So the Radak picks up on this. What does it mean? And the little boy was a little boy. That's what he was. So what is he saying? So the Radak says like this: Kolomar odenu nar katan varach. When it says that he was a nar, it means he was really, as she was mentioned when he was an infant. Now that he's a toddler, he was still a little small. The afal pikin, nonetheless, lo himtina lo. She did not tarry and wait. Ad she's chazak until he became stronger, a little bit more rough and tumble. Elokivan shigamaltu, as soon as she saw that he had been weaned, kolomar shashlima lo yanikato lasof esrav arba chadashim shnoil, and after those 24 months of his birth, miyad hato yimah beis Hashem, she immediately brought him up to service. So we see that even though he might not have been 100%, nonetheless she fulfilled her promise. Okay, pasuk chav hey. And we're going to eventually get to the source sheets, which should be in front of us. We're going to see Pasuk Chav Hei, Chav Vav, and Chav Zayin together. Pasuk Chav Hei, so she brought all these beautiful gifts. So what do you do with a cow? You slaughter it. Pasuk Chav Hei says, V'yishchatu es apar. So the par was, this cow was slaughtered. V'yavio es hanar el alien. Then they decided to bring this little child to alien. A simple explanation is because the child is now going to be like an apprentice to Eli, because he's going to be there forever. But we're going to see in the Gemara in Brachot that says that Shmuel did something very, very bad, which will deserve to be killed. We'll see that in a second. But we'll see the next two psukim. But Tomer, Bi Adoni, Chei Nafshecha Adoni, Ani Ha'isha Nitzeves, Imcha Bozeh L'Spalel El Hashem. So she again starts pleading. And she says, "But says the swear by your life, my Lord." And then he says, "I am the woman that stood before you with Spalal Hashem to down before Hashem to kind of jog his memory, because it's already been 3 years that's gone by. The boy's 2 years old, and it was a year back before that. So she says, remember me, I'm the one that was davening." And then she says, "El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. It was for this child that I was davening. Yitin Hashem li es shelasi. Hashem granted my request, Asher Shaltimi Imo, that which I requested from him, that which I asked of him, is exactly what God gave to me." So if we jump to our source sheets in our Gemara, we will see a couple of interesting things. This is found on page 62, also Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. How do I describe it? There's two dots right over here. It says, Ani Ha'isha. Mm-hmm. See that? Okay. Somewhere in the middle over there, two-thirds down. Ani Ha'isha Nitzavat Imocha. So she said, I am the woman that was standing before you. Okay, and there's nothing too unusual about, apparently, that word. But we're going to see Tosfot disagrees with that in a second. But before, let's see what this Gemara says. I am the woman that was standing before you. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mikan, we went up from here, as we remember that this whole piece of Gemara talks about how we learn out the proper ways in which we should daven. She'asur leishe b'toch arba amos shel tefila. You're not allowed to sit next to someone else who is davening if you are within a 4-cubit span of that individual. You have to be, if you wish to sit, you have to be at least, let's say, 6 to 8 feet away from that person. So that's why she said, I am the woman who was standing before you, which implies, why was she standing? Because not only was I praying, but you were also davening. And therefore, there's no way I would be able to be sitting before you. That's why he says, I'm the woman who was standing, because you're not allowed to sit when the person right next to you is davening the Shemona Esrei specifically. And if you look at this Tosfot, which is in parentheses, this word, which is very interesting that this word is in parentheses, the way it's actually written in the in the Navi, in the text, it's Imcha, with a hey. But for some reason, it's in brackets, rather, on this Tosfot, this fifth Tosfot. And then it says, Imach, mashma betoch arba amos. Now, he writes it with a hay, and then without a hay. Imach mashma betoch arba amos, it sounds like it's within 4 cubits she was, and that's the reason why she was forced to have to stand. Mishum dechsim, because the pasuk says, imcha, which means, male, it was written full, behay, that it has this letter hay as a suffix, or at the end of the word. Now what is that hey doing at the end of that word? It says Tosfot, interestingly enough, Kolomar Shloha Yoshe B'toch Arba Amos Shela Ki'im B'chamishis, that he was not sitting within the 4 Amos, but rather 5, which implies, that's what the hey means, 5.
She was into the 5th Amos.
Right, which basically means that you are after the 4 Amos, which is maybe how the Gemara deduces this, is that after 4 Amos you are allowed to sit. So it's only, you're not allowed to, I was standing, and then it says a hey, as though to say once there's 5, then maybe it's okay. And that was just a sidebar. But I want to see the next piece of Gemara, which is the juicy part. So if we go back to the Gemara, which where we left off, another 2 dots, it says, Alanar hazes walalti, I daven for this child. As though he did something wrong. He didn't really do anything wrong. What's the whole problem over here? So it says like this, Omer Rav Elazar Shmuel Mor Halachalef Ne Rabohaya. Shmuel did something pretty bad. He ended up paskening something, saying over a law in front of his Rebbe. Who is his Rebbe? Eli. Because now that's, he's the apprentice. Shenamor says, V'yishchatu asapar v'aviyu eshanar el Eli. We read the pasuk, which was pasuk chav hey. Very strange pasuk. They slaughtered a cow, and they brought the boy to Eli. So the Gemara asks, Mishum, V'yishchatu asapar, because you slaughtered a cow, then have you hanar el Eli? What does one have anything to do with the other? Same sentence, but it seems to be completely doesn't make any sense. The sentence Ella says the Gemara. This is what happened behind the scenes. Amr lehen Eli karu kohen lesi velishcha. So Eli said, "Oh, we have some more cows over here, and they want to do a shechita. They want to slaughter. Get a kohen and do the shechita, right?" Because after all, they're in Shiloh, so you need a Kohen to do the Shechita. So Chazdu Shmuel, so Shmuel saw the Havi Mahadri Baster Kohen LeMishchat. It's not so easy to find a Kohen these days, right? It's because we have a couple around here. But in Shiloh, apparently there weren't a lot of Kohanim.
They couldn't find a good Shechita.
That's right. They couldn't find a good
Shechita.
So they were looking and wondering, and it had not only a good Shechita, but it had to be a Kohen. So Omer, who he said, What are you doing over here? This is this 2-year-old child, baby, whatever, that said, what are you doing looking for some Kohen to shecht? Shechita b'zar k'sheira. After all, a zar, a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, is also allowed to shecht. So Aisu kamei d'Eli, so they went in front of Eli, they were like, that's strange. This little 2-year-old said this very weird statement. I don't know if it's true because we never heard that before. So Armule, he said, Manoach, how do you know this? So Armule, Miksiv Veshachan HaKohen, Ve'kribu ha-kohanim? Ve'kribu ha-kohanim ksib. It doesn't say v'shachat ha-kohen, that the kohen has to shef. It doesn't say that anywhere in the pasuk. It just says it's brought to the kohen, which means v'kabal v'elech, it's a skuhuna. V'kan l'shchitu sh'ksher bizar. The only thing in which the kohen has to do out of the four steps is that you the shchita can be done by a non-kohen. But the Kabbalah, the acceptance of the blood into a vessel, and then the third step of bringing it to the Mizbeach, and the fourth, the Zerika, the sprinkling, that does have to be done by Kohen. But the first step, the Shechita, apparently can be done by a Zar, by a non-Kohen. So, what did Eli? Eli was obviously pretty impressed. This is an unbelievable kid. This is a prodigy. Who you are? So what did he say? So Eli said, I have some good news and some bad news. Ormalei said, Meimer Shaper Kamer. I'm impressed. Good news. What you said was 100% correct. I'm very proud of you. But there's one problem. Miumor halach mifni rabacha. However, you said over a law in front of your teacher. And everyone knows, v'chol hamor halacha mifni rabo, anyone who says over halach in front of their teacher, there's a little punishment attached to it. Chayv misa. Gotta kill you. So I'm sorry, Chana, I know you have this lovely little 2-year-old boy, but I have some bad news. He has to die. So Asi Chana v'kosavcha kamei. So now we can see the next psukim. So Chana was hearing this and she started screaming. And she said, Ani ha'ish netzavasim chobazeh. Remember, I'm the one, the same woman that was there. Amalei. So Eli said, I understand. I remember, you're the one that really wants a kid. So he said, you know what? Shafgili, why don't you just leave me alone? The Anshe, and let me punish this kid, because he deserves to die. And I know you're going to be lacking, right? So don't worry. Avinu rachmi v'oivloch rabaminei. I'll give you someone who's even greater than him. I'll make sure that Hashem gives you a child who will be even better than this one. So Amalein, on this, the Gemara concludes, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti, that I daven for this child. I didn't want anyone else. And some of the Mepharshim explain that, as we meant, touched upon, what did she want? She didn't want some great child. She wanted just an average Joe. And therefore, she was saying, you know, I don't need someone, you know, so unbelievable and so great. And therefore, that's the way that this is
maybe
read.
Maybe because he, Shmuel, saw through Eli's children that they were not so worthy to be shocked.
But he was a great child. Actually, Shmuel wanted to say, don't.
She didn't at this time.
Look what he did.
Right.
I mean, he learned how long. He didn't do it the right way. At least, first of all,
maybe he looked at how
old was he at that point?
Two.
So maybe three. A for doing
that? That's the Marshal's question. The Marshal says, what are you talking about? He's 2 years old. You can't punish him.
That's why they didn't kill him.
In fact, it's brought down.
He had to plead not to.
Right. So, and this is, it doesn't mean that he's actually going to kill him in a court system, but it would be a Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Misa B'dei Shemayim, the punishment is at 20. We see that in the Midbar, for one example. So, in the, right, the 20 and up, but not anyone under 20.
See that by Nadav Aviv, the eight Zara, the first to say,
yeah,
they were more alach with Nirava.
Yeah. Exactly, that's the same reason why they'd be Chayim Misa. That's how something like. Right, well, I didn't know that, but that's another way that they say why they were Chayim Misa. But nonetheless, how the Marsha asked that question, and they say that the only reason why a person is only punished once they're 20 years old is ki tam shein based in shomaila ma'anshin rach meben chaf ki oz gomer gedulasu bedas, because that's the time you've reached a certain sense of maturity. However, he explains that Shmuel was on such an tremendous madreig at even age 2 that he was comparable to an average guy at age 20. And therefore, that's how the Marsha. There's other answers, but we're not going to get into it.
Right. He's a
genius. So who was Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked the question, and he said that the greatness, the mila, is that she was mispala for just an average kid, and yet he became this. So it shows the potential of us all, that we have the ability to reach the highest of heights. Just as long as we have the drive, the inner strength to want something, then we can accomplish. Let's finish the parak. It's getting late, but we can talk more about this. Let's just finish Pasuk Tav Tes. V'gam anoichi hishil tihu la'ashem kol hayomim asher haya hu sha'ol Hashem yishtachu sham la'ashem. She says, furthermore, I dedicated him to Hashem. All the days that he lives, he is dedicated to Hashem. And then he prostrated himself to Hashem. We'll conclude with this Rashi, very interesting Rashi. He said, says, Pasuk Tav Tes, v'hu Hushoel, Kolomer, Ein Atorah Shail Ansho. See that, Rashi? It's toward the bottom of the page. You don't have permission to punish him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nana Shalav Shaul. It's Hashem who will decide ultimately whether he deserves to be punished. So going according to full circle that that piece of Gemara was talking about, that even though maybe he was Chayav Misa, you have no right to speak up. Because this was a gift that Hashem gave to me based on my request. And therefore, he deserves to live. And this concludes Perek Aleph.